Our story is a story about a man who runs away from God. But he is so connected to Hashem at the same time that he runs away from Hashem, and the messages of the story are intertwined. So the brief overview of the story, we have Ashur, the Assyrian Empire, and they're coming to destroy Israel. They have the most massive army of the time. Imagine the German army, the Nazis. Imagine a formidable force that's going to destroy most of Israel. And everyone knows that their military might is in the process of conquering the world, and that Israel will not be able to stand up to them. And God tells Jonah, I want to destroy them, but let's give them a chance. Go tell them to repent. Go to Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrian Empire, and tell them that they have 40 days to repent. So imagine you got that message. 75 years ago, God told you, go to Munich, go to Germany and tell them, I'm going to turn them over. And you know that if you're going to deliver that message, then this is the force that's going to kill millions of Jews. So what do? You run. Jonah says, let me die. So God will kill me. Better I die than they die. And so Jonah runs to the sea. And one of the great messages of the book of Jonah is that when Hashem wants something to play itself out, then you can't hide. Jonah knows that Hashem knows everything. But Jonah figures, maybe I'll die. They'll throw me overboard, I'll drown. I won't be the one to bring this destruction to Israel. How could I be the one? And that's why at the end of the book, he says to Hashem, after Hashem twisted his arm and forced him to go, he says, kill me, I'm better off dead than alive. He says to Hashem, what's the point of life? Now that I know I caused the destruction of the Jewish people. I kept Hitler alive. So our story is about a huge tzaddik, Yonah ben Amittai, who does everything he can to save the Jewish people. And on some level, he crosses some fine line, as we will see. So Hashem appears to Jonah. Who is Jonah? You know who Jonah is? Jonah was an orphan as a young child. And his mother was the widow that took Eliyahu in. And then Jonah died. And Eliyahu revived him. And then Jonah becomes a great prophet in Israel. And so Hashem tells Jonah, I want you to go out to Nineveh, the Assyrian Empire. Tell him to do tshuva. And Jonah thinks to himself, yeah, sure. They'll say, we're very sorry. We make a declaration at the UN, no more atrocities. We mean it this time. And Jonah says to himself, I know Hashem is merciful. Hashem is willing to give people a chance. But by giving them a chance, that'll destroy Israel. And when they come forward and say, we want to do tshuva, and Israel does not, so it's doubly hurting. So Jonah decides he's going to run. Where do you run? God's everywhere. So he decides he's going to leave Israel. And he decides he's going to go by sea. Because in the sea, the turbulence, person's discombobulated, he won't be focused, and then Hashem won't give him any more prophecy. So Yonah goes down to the port of Jaffa, to Yafo, and there is a ship that had set sail 3 days earlier, and Hashem makes a miraculous wind blow it back into the port, and Yonah says, gee, maybe Hashem is siding with me, maybe I'm onto something. And he comes onto the ship, and there aren't enough people boarding the ship, and he says, I'll pay for everyone, take off. He figures, maybe Hashem will sink the ship, maybe I deserve to die, but let's cause the minimal amount of deaths possible. So they go out to ship. And when they go out to sea, so a miraculous wind focuses on this ship, zeroes in right there, all around the ship. There's turbulence, but everywhere else, everything's calm, smooth sailing. And so the sailors are looking around and they see, well, what's going on here? They try to figure it out. They don't know. So they try to lighten the load on the ship, and that doesn't help any. And then they say, let's pray. So you have 70 sailors from 70 different nations. Each one takes out his idol. And these pagans start praying to their little idols there. And Yonah, he realizes this is nonsense. He goes down. He goes to the bottom of the ship. The part that's underwater. The part that's first to sink. Where he will die first and maybe everyone else will live. And he goes to sleep. Could you imagine that? The ship is being thrown to every side. The sailors are all sure the ship's going to capsize. And you're not going to go to sleep with all that going on all around him. Yonah knows that he's fulfilling his mission in life. And so Yonah can be at peace with himself. And sometimes, when we're on the wrong path, we could be at peace with ourselves. Hashem doesn't agree with what Yonah is doing, and Hashem is going to twist his arm, but at this point, Yonah still has room to think, maybe I got it right. So the captain comes down and says, what you doing sleeping? Every one of us is praying to our gods, you pray to your God. Maybe you'll appease him, promise him something. They go back up and they say, this isn't normal. Every other ship is sailing smoothly and we're in such trouble, we're about to capsize. Something's wrong here. The gods are upset at one of us. We're going to draw lots. So they put down everyone's names. And they draw lots once, and it comes out to Yonah. And they draw a second time, and it comes out on Yonah. And they draw a third time, and it comes out on Yonah. And they turn to him, and they say, what's going on here? You tell us whose fault it is. Maybe you know something we don't know. Maybe the people you came from sinned against the God of the sea. Maybe the people of your trade, your country, your language. Yonah says, nonsense. I'm a Hebrew. I believe in one God. He controls the heavens and the earth and the countries and the languages and everything. And yeah, he's upset at me because I ran away from him. He sent me to prophesize and I know that it's not good for my people. So I went out to sea and he's punishing me. So the people say, Yonah, do tshuva. These non-Jews are turning to the Jew and they say, so repent. And Yonah says, no. And the people say, but we're all going to die. What do you mean no? You see, God's upset at you. So Yonah says, you don't have to die. Throw me overboard. And the people say, Yonah, come on. We don't want to kill you. Do tshuva. So these non-Jews are telling the Jew, do tshuva. Look at the irony. God sent him to tell a bunch of non-Jews to do tshuva, and he wasn't willing to go. So here he is on the ship, and all the non-Jews are telling him, do tshuva. And Yonah says, no. So the sailors tried to turn the ship around. Let's get to some port. And it won't go. And they say, Yonah, what are we supposed to do? Yonah says, I told you, throw me overboard. So they tie some ropes to him. And they let him down. And as his feet enter the waters calm down. So the sailors look incredulously in disbelief. They pull him back up, and a second later, boom! The water has gone mad again. So they look, and they're being thrown backwards and forwards in the ship. So they see they have no choice again. They let him down. And this time, the waters don't calm down until he's in the water, till his belly button, till his navel. The waters calm down. The sailors look around. Maybe it's over. They pull him back on board, and the waters get turbulent once again. And again, they see they can't handle this. They're all in danger of sinking, so they let him down. And this time, the waters only calm down when he's up to his neck. Everything's calm. Maybe this is it. Maybe this time it's over. They pull him back on board, and again, the waters are throwing them back and forth, and the ship's in danger of capsizing. What are they going to do? They turn to God and they say, don't let us have this sin. We don't want to kill an innocent man. But God, what choice are you leaving us? They look at Yonah. He's standing his ground. They look to heavens. What are they supposed to do? They slowly let him down. And the waters keep going. And his feet hit the waters. Nothing doing. His navel's in the water. Still crazy. He's down to his neck, and the waters haven't calmed down this time. And he says, let me go, I'm telling you, that's it, it's over. And so they slowly let him go. And as he goes into the water with the rope, the waters calm down. And the sailors look down. And they see something very strange. Yonah makes no attempt to swim. He's sinking. And they turn to heaven and they say, God, we didn't want to kill him. We shouldn't be punished for this. And they vow to go back home and convert and teach their families about monotheism. And on the board, on that ship, they each circumcise. And Yonah figures, okay, finally it's over, I'm going to drown. Okay, I'm ready to die for my people. But God has other plans. And so this big fish swims up to him and swallows him. And Yonah is inside this big fish. And the fish tells him, I got bad news for you. Every day a different fish like me gets eaten by the big Leviathan. There's this king of all fish. Today it's my turn. So Yonah says, well, take me to this Leviathan. I've heard about him. I want to have a word with him. So they go down. And Yonah says to him, you know, I wanted to see where you live because pretty soon I'm going to come down here and fetch you, insult you, and slaughter you for all the righteous people when the Messiah comes. So I'm happy we're meeting now. And the Leviathan says, excuse me, who are you? And Yonah says, who am I? I am a grandson of Abraham. And I'll show you, I have the covenant of Abraham. And when he shows him that, the Leviathan runs as far as he can hide. And Yonah turns to the fish and says, you owe me one, buddy. I just saved your life. Now give me a tour. So he gets a tour, he gets to see the place in the Yam Suf where the Jews crossed, he gets to see under the Holy of Holies, he gets to see the place in the Jordan where the Jews crossed. When he's under the Holy of Holies, the Leviathan says, Yonah, this is your place to pray. For 3 days, things are going pretty well. And Yonah is ready to die. He's not budging. He is so determined to save the people of Israel that even at this point, he doesn't give in. And so Hashem has him transferred from the male fish to a female fish. And inside the female fish, the acids start burning Yonah. And Yonah's hair is burnt off. And Yonah's skin starts being scorched. And as Yonah is standing there in acid being burnt alive, he raises his eyes to heaven and says, God, I know you want me to go, I'm going to go. And then the fish ejects him. Whew! He's shot onto dry land. And God tells Yonah a second time, get up and go to Nineveh and tell them what I've told you. But now Yonah is ill. Yonah's hair and skin is badly burnt. And anyone who looks at him takes a step back. What is that creature? And Yonah heads to Nineveh. He walks into Nineveh. The people of Nineveh are all staring. And the sailors are there, and the sailors say, we know him. He's a miraculous man of God. And Yonah walks into the city and says, in 40 days, this city will be overturned. God is upset. You've been stealing from one another. And even non-Jews have to know that God is looking at them. Rosh Hashanah is not only judgment day for the Jewish people, it's judgment day for the world at large. And so, if they're stealing from one another, then God is going to take them to task over it. And so, Yonah tells them, you have 40 days, and corresponding to that, we have 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur, in which we prepare and do tshuva. And the people of Nineveh, they take it seriously. So they start repenting. And one passes the other. He says, you know, you were building it at night. I grabbed the brick. I put it into my wall. Let me take it out. Let me give it back to you. And the king of Nineveh, he's a very old man. He's a few centuries old. His name is Pharaoh. Short midget, you know, one amah tall, about this high. He was the king of Egypt back when the Jews left Egypt. So now he turns to the people and he says, this is for real. Believe me, if God's upset, he means it. He takes off his crown, he gets off his throne, he puts on sack, and he decrees everyone must repent. Everyone has to verify what they've done wrong and repent. It says one person. No one was left but one, it says. He was that one. He went around telling people what happened. And so, the people of Nineveh start repenting. And they're not perfect at it. They're far from perfect. And Yonah sees that. They take the mothers and the babies, they put the babies on one side and the mothers on the other side. They take the baby calves on one side and the mother calves on the other side. They say, God, if you don't have pity on us, we won't have pity on them. They stand there praying, and they're praying with a certain ferocity. They're ferocious in their prayers. But they do repent. And the Navi tells us that Hashem looked, and Hashem saw how they changed their actions. And even though we know that a short while later they sinned again and they really were punished, but at that moment, Hashem said, but they're improving. They're not yet perfect, but they're improving. And so Hashem forewent His decree. And we have a rule that when God gives a decree for bad, when God says in a prophecy that bad things will happen, then God is waiting for us to repent. And when we do, then Hashem is willing to overturn that decree. And that's exactly what happens at Nineveh. God said, 40 days and Nineveh will be overturned. Either the city will be overturned, yeah, or the city will overturn itself. They will do tshuva, they will turn over a new leaf, which is what they did. So Yonah is standing on the sidelines. Yonah ben Amitai. Amitai is truth. Yonah is all about truth and what's right and wrong. And he can't stand it. Because he knows this isn't perfect and this isn't going to last. But it's going to last long enough to destroy his own people. And so Yonas goes outside the city, sets up camp. And he's very sensitive to sunlight now after he suffered all that time in the acid and he has no hair. And he's suffering in sweltering heat, sitting on the side of the city and watching. And when he sees the city wasn't overturned, then people start telling him, liar, liar, you said the city would be overturned, you see you're a liar. Yonah turns to Hashem and Yonah says, God, this is why I didn't want to go in the first place. I knew you're merciful. I knew that you're willing to forgo things and go beyond the call of duty and you just want to do good to the world. And these are the messages that we're reminding ourselves of just before the end of Yom Kippur. That the main point of the fast is not about the hunger, about not eating, not wearing shoes, not taking a shower that day, separating from our wives. That's not the main point of the fast. The main point is what the people of Nineveh did. Of course, the Torah prescribes that we have to do these things on Yom Kippur. But what Hashem is looking for is not only the mitzvah of fasting and a person keeping the tanit, those forms of affliction. What Hashem is looking for is some change. And there's also an encouragement in this prophecy. That even though the people of Nineveh, they weren't perfect, Yonah, in his mortal eyes, he says, why forgive them? They're far from perfect. They're going to sin again. And Hashem says, no. I love them. And I'm rooting for them. And when we enter these high holy days, we have to know that Hashem is rooting for us more than we're rooting for ourselves. We sometimes think, what am I worth? Why should I merit a good year? And Hashem says, hey buddy, hold it right there. I've invested a lot of work in you. You know, sometimes when a guy's about to make a really foolish move, when he leaves Machon Meir, I take him aside and I say, one second. We've studied together for a year, 2 years, 3 years. I've spent quite a few nights talking to you. You've come to my house for quite a few meals. I've invested in you. You owe me something, right? So hold it just one second. There's one request I want to ask of you. Don't do something stupid. Don't ruin your future. Not for you, for me, because I've invested too much in you. Well, you know what? Hashem says to us, I've invested so much in you. You know what an intricate machine you human being are. And I'm rooting for you. If we had a disciple like ourselves, we'd have kicked him out of school a long time ago. But Hashem says, I'm giving you a new chance tomorrow. Start fresh. Rabba emunatecha, we say every morning. Every morning Hashem gives us a new soul, new spirit, new strength. Go out and succeed. And it's up to us to make the best of it. And you know what? Hashem also knows that in the long run we're going to have ups and downs. Nineveh, they had a huge down. They were ultimately destroyed. And Hashem knew that. So Yonah couldn't handle it. Why forgive him? Why give him another chance? Why let him make headway? And God says, but they're human beings. And that's reason enough. I've invested in them. And I want them to succeed. And I know they're not perfect. And I know it won't last. But right now they've made headway. And so, as we enter the last stages of Yom Kippur, we have to ask ourselves, have we made headway? Have we done tshuva? Because what kept Nineveh going was the tshuva. It wasn't the externals. So Yonah sits outside the city and he says, God, let me die. Why should I have to witness how these people will destroy my people and I tried to prevent it, I was unsuccessful. What's my life worth? And so Hashem has this plant grow next to Yonah, a kikayon. And Yonah sits there and suddenly there's shade. And there's the sign that Hashem is on his side, so to speak. the shave. And Yonah is very happy with that shave. And then Hashem has a worm come into that plant that night and destroy it. And it dries up and shrivels. And a broiling hot wind comes out and starts beating on Yonah. And the sun is beating down on him. And he has a fever. And he has flies all around him because his skin is all destroyed from the acid of the fish. And he's lying there in the sweltering heat, suffering physically, and he says, God, let me die. And God asks him, you're pretty upset you lost that plant, right? It was very convenient for you to have that plant. You didn't invest anything in that plant, yet you had a lot of appreciation for that plant. Because that plant had a purpose. That plant had a simple purpose, but sometimes a simple purpose is also a purpose. And the people of Nineveh also have a purpose. Sometimes it's a simple purpose. And the prophecy ends with a question. You cared about a plant, and I shouldn't care about so many people and animals. And so the prophecy ends with a powerful note. God cares about people who are not indulgent and animals. And Hashem says, I don't want to destroy them. And that's such a tremendous message as we enter the closing hours of Yom Kippur. Very often in Yom Kippur there's this sense of fear, sense of awe, when in fact there should be an overwhelming sense of love. I had a day camp. And I took the kids on a trip. And on the way back, I see the lights behind me. There's a police car. And suddenly he comes on the walkie-talkie and he says, please pull over. In the United States. So, I pull over. And the kids are sitting in the back cracking jokes. And I check, everyone's seatbelt in. He walks over, looks through the window. He looks at me. Looks at the kids. He looks at me. He says to me, what's your name? I tell him my name. He says, do me a favor. Take your finger. Go like this, down to your nose. So I go, okay. This, down to my nose. He says to me, are you okay? I said, I think so. He said to me, then why were you driving like this? I said to him, I didn't notice I was driving like that. So he looks at my tires, and he says to me, well, your tires are bald. That's why on the road, you keep shifting within your lane. I thought you were drunk, he says to me. Now I see you're not drunk. But you have bald tires. So I'm giving you a ticket for having bald tires. But you can have the ticket removed. If you come to the judge and show him a receipt that you switched your tires, then you could tell him I said he should remove the ticket. I said, okay. Now, I had this camp for all of 2 months. I'd buy a car before the camp started and sell it when the camp was over. Sometimes I made a profit, sometimes not. I bought this car, I think, for $600. I gave it to a junkyard, I think, for $900. So I made a profit. So the court date comes, and I have to go to the judge. And I know that the worst thing that can happen is I'll have to pay $150 for having bald tires. No points on my license. Okay. You know what? When that judgment day came, I was nervous. And when I walked up to the courthouse, I was really nervous. And I said to myself, what are you so scared about? Nothing bad can happen. It's a question of, will you pay $150 or not? And when I sat in that courtroom, oh boy was I nervous. I felt my heartbeat. And then it came my turn to talk before the judge. I'm stuttering. Now, the judge was so nice. The guy before me was caught speeding. So he comes with a ticket, and the judge says to him, "Son, give me some kind of excuse, because otherwise I can't give you anything off the ticket. Tell me your girlfriend was having a baby. I don't know." He said, "This is what the judge says." And I'm sitting there and I'm hearing the cases before me. And the judge says, "If you can't come up with anything, then I can't take anything off the ticket." So you see, he's a nice judge. And even so, I'm nervous. We approach Yom HaDin, we approach Judgment Day, and we have to realize this is a judge that just said to the guy before you, "Tell me something positive. I want to give you something off. I'm looking to make it good for you. Just take a few steps toward me." Of course, some of us know that we have more to fix and some less, and sometimes we know it's not going to be perfect. Who said God expects it to be perfect? God expects us to move forward. If we can move forward 10 steps, let us move forward 10 steps. If we can move forward 2 steps, let's move forward 2 steps. But let's move forward. Let's take real steps forward. And so the book of Yonah reminds us we have a job to do in this world. And if we try to run away from it, then Hashem says, "Oh, put you right back there. I control the world." There was once a Kohen who had a servant. And the Kohen is prohibited from entering graveyard. So was the servant too. They're traveling next to the graveyard. He jumps off the wagon, enters the graveyard and says, "You can't touch me." So the master says, "That's so interesting. You're so right. I can't touch you." He calls his other servant. He says, "Take this whip, go in there and start beating him up." He says, "I can't touch you," but he can. Hashem says to Yonah, you think you'll run away from your job in this world? So I won't give you prophecy out there at sea, but I have the sea at my disposal. I have the fish at my disposal. There's no running away from our responsibility. And at the same time, there's also the realization that Hashem is rooting for us. He's the positive king who's up there with a smile and he's saying, "Tell me, where have you taken a step towards me? Take a few steps towards me. I know you're not perfect. And I don't demand 100%. I demand you advance. I demand you try. Make steps forward. Because at the end of the day, I want what's good for you even more than you want what's good for you. I'm merciful, I'm kind, and I'm rooting." And so that's the message we take with us as we enter Mincha and Ilah, and Be'ezrat Hashem, we should have a good and blessed year. Amen.